The University of Kentucky Federal Credit Union encourages everyone to promote positivity and random acts of kindness in the community with their Take Care campaign. Follow along on social media using hashtag Take Care or visit ukfcu.org/takecare to learn more. UK Federal Credit Union believes everyone has something positive to share. So join us in offering kind words and positivity with hashtag Take Care. Stop by a UK Federal Credit Union branch to grab a mask or button and show off your positive vibes. Masks and buttons are first come, first served and available for limited time only. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by UK Federal Credit Union. And right now, it's tough times are out there. And UK FCU believes everyone has something positive to share. Not positive test results, some positivity. There's a lot of anxiety going on right now. Go to ukfcu.org/takecare to make sure that your friends, family, and everybody's doing well during these trying times. ukfcu.org/takecare. Visit them at one of their six locations around the city of Lexington and surrounding areas, and keep tuned into the KSR Football Podcast, where today it's been a crazy kind of day around the SEC. I'm Nick Roush with Freddie Magger, Charles Walker, and Drew Franklin. And Drew, I don't know about you, but it's not exactly like the SEC tournament, but the COVID-19 news that's happening all around campuses across the SEC, it's crazy. It kind of reminds me of that day where we had all those cancellations this spring.
Yeah, right as we start this show, we learn Mississippi State's game was canceled, and Mississippi State, of course, played Vanderbilt 2 days ago, which is a little concerning knowing Vanderbilt's coming to Kentucky after making that trip. As we record this now, Monday at 3:30-ish, we still have a Vandy game, but as outbreaks keep popping up everywhere, I'm a little worried about the future of football right now.
Yeah, and
at least for a weekend, not long-term, but
Kentucky is dealing with their own, but it's not as substantial as some of the other places. To the point that the way that Mark Stoops kind of delivered the news is the point that right now, Charles, when they're sharing all of the who has COVID kind of things, they're omitting Kentucky. But Stoops said today that he's out some offensive staffers. They've had some COVID situations pop up. But Texas A&M had to suspend all activities because of COVID. LSU, they had an outbreak as well, and it's hit their quarterback room and their secondary to the point that the Alabama game may be in jeopardy. And what it all comes back to, Charles, is we're about 2 weeks removed from Halloween.
Yeah, do you think that it has anything to do with possible Halloween parties and people going to those?
I mean, Ross Dellinger said that at least at LSU, that's the source of one. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, teams take their lumps and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, might as well go out and have a good time. I mean, why the hell not?
Yeah, you know, I just think we kind of knew this was going to happen at one point before the season started, whether it be, I mean, luckily, and I don't want to, there hasn't been injuries due to COVID yet, you know, hospitalized, etc. So at the end of the day, for player safety, if you have to miss a couple games or reschedule a couple games, that makes more sense than I guess winging it. Now Pfizer's come out with some vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Good news. There we go, Chuck.
Yeah. The Pfizer stock last week, that would have been great. I think it rose about 13% is what I saw. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about player safety. You know, these are guys that do not have a salary for playing football. Granted, they have scholarships, blah, blah, blah. Let's not even dive into all that. You know, player safety should be option and priority number one. I think that is it. So, like Drew said, hopefully there is a game this week.
Yeah. Freddie, I know that Charles Walker was a good, well-to-do football player who wouldn't risk the health of his teammates. But Dr. Cool, I can't imagine keeping that mullet in on Halloween night. I just...
Yeah, that would have been tough, to be quite honest with you. But, yeah, you know, I just looking at all this with Vanderbilt barely having enough players last week to play against Mississippi State, you know, I think the Kentucky game could be in jeopardy. We'll see. I mean, nobody knows. But, you know, it's tough all around the league. It really is. And, you know, Charles brought up a good point that these players don't have a salary. And, you know, I saw a tweet where the Clemson and Notre Dame game had triple the viewers than the NBA championship final game.
Wow.
I mean, that blew my mind. And you have to realize that the Clemson-Notre Dame game had so much competition with news channels and everything else still covering the election. So, I mean, that just absolutely blew my mind that game had that big of an audience. And, you know, you think of the NBA championship game, those guys make all that money. What about the guys from Notre Dame and Clemson who had triple the viewers for the advertising money and still doesn't get paid? So that's not what we were talking about, but something that popped up in my head.
One thing that I also didn't understand about that game too is that Trevor Lawrence couldn't play because he had of COVID, but yet he could be on the sideline with a mask.
Yeah,
I think that's got to do with the heart test that comes after you're cleared. You have to clear a heart test or something of that nature. But I mean, truth of the matter is, Trevor Lawrence wasn't made any difference. I mean, I think DJ played great. It was the Clemson defense that really, you know, hurt him. So.
Drew, I thought we were going to get Ugo Owele pronunciation.
We laughed at the same time that Freddie didn't want to attempt that last name. I don't blame him. I don't blame him either. I can't get it. That was very odd to see that he, because it was at Notre Dame. He traveled with the team.
Yeah,
and then it was even weirder that, like, you have that many Notre Dame students there and then they rush the field afterwards and you just see this picture of just this like mob of students. It was, man, that was something else. Sports right now, like, we're going to look back at all of this 15, 20 years from now and just be like, how in the, I mean, yeah. And hopefully it's just kind of a hiccup, if you will. I mean, obviously there's been lots of devastation throughout this country. We don't want to downplay it, but like, just from the sports perspective, the Tuesday night NFL games, and then you have, you know, Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman's got it, and he's got minor symptoms, and then you've got Tom Izzo now says he has it right before the season's set to start. So, like, you know, imagine you're a player, and you're just like, well, we're getting ready to finally start our season. We don't have our head coach for 2 weeks. Like, it's just very bizarre, all of the visuals we're getting out of all of it, and Drew, I think what really made today weird is every time we think we were like gone through the craziest part of this pandemic, it just keeps popping up again.
Yeah, with Sam Pittman at Arkansas, I like that Barry Odom is now the head coach, former Missouri coach just a year ago, now Arkansas's associate head coach. So he steps in for Pittman for the Florida trip, it looks like. So just wild headlines all the way around, as you're saying.
And I saw him hug a bunch of Tennessee players after the game. Did y'all see that?
That was by design.
Well, I mean, they were his former offensive linemen at Tennessee. You know, Cade Mays and those guys.
Yeah, transfer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, it's you know, I'll be honest with you, man. This thing scared me to death from day one. I mean, I counted today in my car alone. I have 4 bottles of hand sanitizer in my car. And I wear a mask. I mean, if I'm sitting in my house by myself, I wear a mask. I mean, I mean, this thing has scared me because I'm in that demographic, man, that, you know, it worries me. So we need to be cautious. We need to be careful with this because it's very serious. People have lost their lives and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a tough situation. So sports is sports, but, you know, safety and the well-being of the players, coaches and staffs and fans alike and officials and everybody should be at the forefront of our thoughts.
And I appreciate you bringing this down to earth, Freddie, because.
Oh, my bad.
No. Like, I really do, because we're normally not serious on here, but it needs to be said. And also the fact that, like, I think a lot of people forget that it's kind of still happening because we've been living with it for so long, you know.
Yeah.
All of us want to just kind of take our foot off the gas a little bit and calm down and just try to be normal for a little bit, especially with sports and everything going on. So cases are surging everywhere. Stay safe out there, folks, please. It stinks. And
yeah,
COVID's no fun.
It got real for me last week when I had my first COVID test done. And I'll be honest with you, I was nervous. And thanks for warning me about the fungal bat they stick up your nose, guys. Nobody told me that stick that thing halfway up to your brain. That hurts. I ain't going to lie.
So I've gotten the rapid test and it's only a little bit of a tickle. I haven't gotten the one where take a piece of your brain out.
Oh Lord.
I've gotten it where she went very deep, but my problem with it being there, it's how slow she counted. She said she's going to count to 5 and I was to 10 while she was still at 2. So it was how long they held it there is what made it so excruciating.
When my wife is in labor, Drew, they make you like count while, all right, we need you to count while you push. And so I would count and like, for, I don't know what it was, if I was subconsciously going slower, but at one point I got socked in the wrist. Count faster, damn it. but all the COVID-19 stuff's happening out there. We're hoping that Kentucky Vanderbilt is still played. There's a chance that Kentucky Vanderbilt might be the only game played this weekend because there are some teams already on a bye in addition to having games here and there that are kind of in jeopardy being played. So it's going to be weird, but nevertheless, at least the show will go on for now. And I wanted to actually get to our Midnight Rooster segment of the week early on because folks, I know it's not going to cure COVID-19 by any means, but some of the CBD products that Midnight Rooster offers, MIDNITE Rooster, really help with stress relief and anxiety. And Drew, that's right up my alley right now, because this stuff, you know, you just get a little uneasy. And sometimes you need a nice little CBD to you know, make the help with your wellness. And they're the kind of wellness product we support at Kentucky Sports Radio.
Yeah, they do the drops for your wellness, or if you're having trouble sleeping because of all of your anxiety, a couple of those for a bed will get you right on the right track. So lots of good stuff over there. As we always say, go check them out.
Yeah, and it was a good week, a nice bye week to hit refresh. And Midnight Rooster, they're a great way to help you refresh each and every single day. And this week's segment is brought to you by Midnight Rooster. Favorite Vanderbilt football traditions, Charles Walker. What's your favorite Vanderbilt football tradition?
Hearing my friends and family, how much fun they have when they visit Nashville and can drink beer in the stadium. So my favorite Vandy football tradition.
It is a tradition unlike any other. It's kind of like the Masters this weekend. Partying in the stadium.
Yeah, people look forward to making that trip to Nashville you know, every year or every other year. People love watching Vandy UK because in the past we've kind of had their number, and I think we'll continue to do that. It was also kind of a big game for me. I was at one point kind of on the Vandy train. So at Vanderbilt, and he kind of, you know, turned that program around, if you will. Granted, there's some stuff happened after he left. Blah, blah, blah. When he was there, my sister was living in Nashville, still is. And I got accepted and had a little preferred walk-on spot there. And almost drank that Kool-Aid enough to make the decision to go to Vanderbilt. So that game always kind of meant a little more for me. Never forget the guy who was recruiting me. I probably don't want to say his name, because when I said I was going to Kentucky, you know, he kind of yelled at me, "You need to come here," blah, blah, blah. So I'd always see him and we'd walk out, you know, playing against him. And, you know, definitely liked, I guess, being 3-1 against them. We did have that bad year where we kind of just weren't ready to play and we should have gone bowling. I guess it was my sophomore year.
That was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, that was
that was the game that made Freddie quit Nashville. But the other Charles Walker game, was that the game that you recovered Lynn's fumble at like the 5?
That was the craziest. That fumble traveled about 30 extra yards from Vanderbilt guys, you know, picking it up, saving it from going out of bounds to rubbing it off their feet. And yeah, I think he fumbled it on the 30 yard line, and I recovered it on the 3-yard line, something crazy.
And last year, that first tradition you spoke of, I was a part of it because I believe I Irish goodbye to you somewhere in Printer's Alley.
You did. This is true.
You know, it's
not really by when you're 6'7" like you are, and everyone kind of notices. Where did that big guy go? He was in our group, and now he's not.
Yeah. I think after that night too, I retired a karaoke song for good. I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. I've lost the speedball. Gotta go to a curveball from this point forward. Drew, what's your favorite Vandy? What's your favorite thing about Vanderbilt football? I know you've got fond memories of Vanderbilt.
It's usually just an excuse to go to Nashville. I always try to make that away trip, and the game is kind of secondary for the trip. But it is fun going there and seeing so many UK fans at a road stadium. Vandy never has anyone there, so it's neat getting the Go Big Blues going. And as Charles said, the fan base is usually a little more lubed up at that game than they are at Kroger Field. So it's just a nice away trip where you can get a win and have a fun weekend out of it, unlike Freddie.
Yeah. Sorry, Freddie.
I got nothing.
Bringing those up. Yeah. I mean, they've got that – they had a cup. Kentucky fans made a cup snake last year. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I forgot all about the cup
snake. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. That was
a snake, too.
My favorite Vanderbilt – football tradition is going to the Wendy's before the game. That's like right there on the corner of the stadium, and there's a line out the door. But a huge UK super fan, they say We Dem Boys. That's the kind of group of traveling UK fans. I just call them the Road Dogs. The oldest member of this group of fans, his name's Donnie Ray. Donnie Ray turned 93 last year. I didn't check my notes on how old it was, but his birthday is always around that game, so they'll bring him a tiny little cake and sing happy birthday to him, get the whole crowd to. And Donnie Ray will just tell stories for days about the time he drove Elvis Presley in his car, the time Merle Haggard punched him in the face. Donnie Ray is such a dedicated fan. He broke his hip and then was at Neyland Stadium like 3 weeks later. He's that dedicated of a Kentucky football fan. So, unfortunately, I know a lot of those guys couldn't make it to games this year because of the pandemic. But I just want to give those guys a shout-out because they're some of the most dedicated fans in the Big Blue Nation. And, this year's made things weird for everybody. But we're still getting Kentucky Vanderbilt, a game where Kentucky's favored by 17 points, double-digit favorites. And, Freddie, the last – it's really weird. This game, it does feel a lot like the last time Vandy came up to Lexington, because just that was the last time Kentucky was a double-digit favorite as an SEC team, and the offense was really struggling. They laid a big stinker. It was really windy, and Terry Wilson only completed 3 passes for something like 18 yards, and Benny Snell essentially put the team on his back to make sure 14th-ranked Kentucky stayed alive to fight another day.
Yeah, you know, and I actually do have one in all seriousness about Vanderbilt. I like how they incorporate their Naval and Army ROTCs into their stadium, and how they their partners with Fort Campbell And I guess this is, we won't have a show next week. I would like to wish all the veterans a very happy Veterans Day and thank you for your service. We really do appreciate it. And we love you here in the state of Kentucky. But looking at Vanderbilt, man, I mean, what I can see is offensively for Vanderbilt is they're really good between the 30s. 30-30, they'll put up a lot of yards. They had over 400 yards last week against Mississippi State. But in the red zone, they're not very good, to be quite honest with you. Only scoring 50% of the time, it's less than the conference. Vanderbilt has only made 2 field goals all year. Oh. So averaging 12 points a game, I mean, that's not ideal. And another thing about that offense for Vanderbilt is they're sitting at a plus 8 turnover margin. In reference, Kentucky is a minus 4. So, you know, Kentucky is, I mean, opposite wise, Kentucky is positive 4. Good true freshman quarterback, but he's facing the number one pass defense in the country, in the conference. I like Ken Seals. I think he's playing extremely well for a true freshman, but he'll cough the football up. But I do expect Vandy to roll up some yards and have some pass plays that hit it, but I don't expect them to do very well inside the red zone.
If Kentucky has the spicy Italian meatball at kicker, Vandy has the soggy Italian noodle leg. Gross.
Ooh. Polish.
Who is 6?
6.
2 field goals at this point in the season. Not good.
Yeah. I mean, I analyze these numbers from Vanderbilt, and it really, I mean, they're in here that just blew my mind. I mean,
it's like, know, a high school kicker.
35 points a game. Yeah. I mean, they're giving up 35 points and they're scoring 12 a game. And that's not, it's not very good. And the thing that I know Nick will not like this, but Vanderbilt has given up 279 pass yards a game and has allowed 13 touchdowns. So what does that do? That tempts an offensive coordinator to do what, Nick?
We're going to air it out today.
Yeah.
Practice
so
it's all week and then run the ball.
I do. Like if Stoops was he since that Georgia game, he's tried to say as little about the quarterback situation as possible. But Chuck, this is an opportunity. Like if you're going to want to get any sort of momentum whatsoever in the passing game, Vandy's a team to do it against. You've been waiting to put up some numbers against a team all year. Now here's your opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I agree completely. So 2 weeks ago, did we ever get a clarification on Gatewood was starting because Terry's hand was hurt, or Gatewood was starting because a little bit of both, or what? There is no clarification there, correct? And then this week it is Terry or Joey.
Yeah, Drew. It was he's got a wrist injury, but he might have had a wrist injury regardless. You know, like
the wrist really started bothering him after he got benched, it seemed.
Yeah. This go back to what I've been telling people for the past 3 or so weeks when the quarterback battle started. They're throwing to the same guys. So, I mean, really, we need the wide receivers and the tight ends to step up, get open, and give the quarterbacks an opportunity to throw the ball. You know, I think a lot of people blame Eddie Grand for not calling pass plays. Well, if you don't have any belief in your wide receivers that they will get open, why call the plays? So, you know, it's a double-edged sword there. And at the end of the day, he's going to take the blame. He's the OC. It's all on him. He'll be the first to say that. But we got to have some wide receivers step up and make the one-on-one catches. And we got to have a quarterback step up and be able to put the ball on their head so they have the opportunity to make a catch. I think this is the week, like you said, that we could develop some momentum. And I think we hand the ball off to 24 and take some shots.
Chuck, let me add something on that as far as numbers-wise for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are averaging 4.52 yards per carry
Yep.
Yards per pass attempt, 5.4 yards.
Whew.
So you're averaging less than a yard more passing attempts than you are per rushing attempt. Yeah. I think sheds light on what we've seen so far.
Uh-huh.
So moving forward, we don't know who it's going to be. I ultimately think that at this point, you're 2-4. You've only seen Joey Gatewood in one game, and it was against a pretty good Georgia defense. Let's see what he can do against a bad team. You don't really know. Drew, we've seen plenty of Terry Wilson. But here's my what if for you, Drew.
Okay.
What if they go with Gatewood right away? And they're like, all right, let's see what he's got against Vanderbilt. And then you're going into the second half. Offense isn't any better. You're losing. Do you go to Terry Wilson or do you go to Bo Allen to change things up?
I think they would go to Terry, but I would not be shocked if I saw Bo Allen trotting into the game. But I still think it would be Terry in that situation. I would love to see Bo Allen, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility this season, but also I worry that if they can't catch already, if he comes in, what's he going to do, a passing quarterback, if they're just going to, not be open or drop it in the first place? So why come in and mess with his confidence?
What's going on with Bryce Oliver?
This is like the Dorian Baker year where he had the hammy injury and he only played like 3 games. Okay. I have a feeling it's the feels good enough and then it starts bothering him again kind of deal.
What I would see is whoever the starter is, go out. Here's my projection. Starter's going to be Gatewood. He's going to go out. We're going to be up 25 points, the start of the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left. They throw Bo Allen in, and we see what the true freshman from Lexington, Kentucky has.
And, man, this would be – Vanderbilt has been a sliding door moment for quarterbacks previously. Chuck, you did mention that game earlier where that was the last we really saw of Patrick Toles was down at Vanderbilt when they scored on the play where the guy kind of came in from the sideline. Kentucky's offense wasn't moving the ball well. Drew comes in, throws a touchdown to Timmons, I believe, on his first or second throw.
That was a pretty good drive, like a 70-yard drive.
Yeah, and that was really – I think Toles kind of – he might have came in a game after that as well. But at least in this season, there is a potential bowl game lying at the end of the year. But – Freddie, this is ideally the time before you play two great offenses in Alabama and Florida. You at least have a few concepts, a few good looking plays out there that makes you think that you can at least string together some drives against Alabama and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday is all about Kentucky. I mean, Vanderbilt does throw the football well. It does concern me with the 400 yards against Mississippi State. I mean, that's a really good defense. I really like the running back, Keon Henry Brooks, had over 200 all-purpose yards. But offensively, Kentucky has this is an offensive get-right game for the Cats. I mean, it absolutely is. You look at what Vanderbilt, giving up 160 rush yards a game. If Kentucky doesn't hit the 200-yard mark this Saturday, then it's going to really struggle to hit that mark again against Florida, Alabama, and South Carolina. 440 yards they give up, 6.8 yards per play that they allow. So, this is a game that Kentucky can string some drives together, make some big plays, increase that average per yards per attempt. Vanderbilt does have one really good pass rusher, Deo Odiyingbo, 6'6", 280-pound defensive end, all-SEC player. But the good thing for Kentucky is he'll be going against Derrick Kennard, Landon Young, two of the better tackles in the league. So you're absolutely right. I mean, Kentucky, this game is all about Kentucky. It's about what we see from the open week. It's about the adjustments that were made in the passing game. And also, if you think about it, this game will also have influence on recruiting. If you throw some younger guys in during the bye week and you see them on Saturday, they perform well, they don't perform well, then the recruiting shift may say, okay, we need more offensive line, whatever. whatever position group, because a lot of the young guys got to show what they were worth last week, and we might see some in the game Saturday.
Do we see a Mike Drennan touchdown?
Numbers say no, Chuck, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, but I'm saying yes. It's happening, Chuck. Write it down. Donut's not going to have a donut in that stat. He's going to have a one in that score. Because I think, to Freddie's point too, I think they're going to make kind of concerted effort to get some of those guys the ball. And I was really reading between the lines in Mark Stoops' press conference today, because like I said, he's not giving us much when it comes to quarterback talk. But the way that in the last 2 weeks, he said, A, we're really just trying to find a few passing concepts that work and go from there. And then B, he talked about, and we heard it a lot in the preseason, where they wanted to use some of the Lynn Bowden RPO stuff in the quarterback run game this year. They really wanted to implement that, but except now you have a downfield throw that can be a part of that read as well. And essentially, that's just not worked. Like Stoops said as much today, you know, we tried to do some stuff and it just hasn't been effective. Maybe that's putting too much on the quarterback to make those reads, whatever it may be. But I think they got a little too they put a lot on Terry's shoulders, and I don't know. I don't think he handled it well. And it at least comes across to me that they're admitting as much. The quarterback run game hasn't been effective. So that's probably part of the drawing board, is eliminating some of that stuff that it might have worked well for Lynn, but you know, Lynn Bowden didn't walk into that door, Freddie. And these quarterbacks had to be comfortable with the concepts they're running to make sure that Kentucky is moving the sticks.
Yeah, and I would argue, Nick, we need to see fewer quarterback runs. They've been unsuccessful, and from that, your running back carries have gone down.
Yeah,
the carries need to be in the hands of Chris Rodriguez. We don't need to see Terry Wilson or Joey Gatewood run. We need to see – we want Chris Rodriguez to have the football in his hands. Behind that very good block off run-blocking offensive line, let them get after it. They would have 20-something carries against Georgia. I mean, that's way too many. And, we just need to get that ball into the hands of Chris Rodriguez and let him eat, because, I mean, he's a running back that gets better with the more carries that he gets. He's not your home runner. He is a guy that will wear a defense down. And Kentucky can go a couple ways against Vanderbilt. Like I said, this is going to be very telling for the Kentucky program, what we see on Saturday. Are they just going to try to, obviously they're going to try to win, but are they going to get it out with Rodriguez, which could work? Or are you going to try to do some different things to showcase what you worked on in practice or the downfield passing game? But, Chuck, I mean, you know this. If those safeties aren't threatened, and I know I say that phrase every freaking Saturday, if those safeties are not threatened, they're going to be sitting in the box.
Yeah.
And the corners are going to be sitting on routes. I mean, plain and simple. Kentucky has, as far as their long pass plays, 7 pass plays of 20-plus yards this year and 2 pass plays of 30 yards. So,
how many of those? I mean,
I don't know. I didn't break it down that far, but I mean, you've got
at least
got
one was some, Josh Ali in that Auburn game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put those safeties in play in the pass game so they just can't line up 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and be more defenders in box than your 5 offensive linemen can block.
Gosh, and sometimes it's not even about. Obviously, you want to be successful when you take a shot, but if you can take a couple shots early and at least keep them on their toes, hey, we will throw this ball if it's there. That'll help, because we're running these play action passes and the safeties are just coming up because they know we're not passing the ball.
Yeah,
that's a great point, and I can't believe we only have 7 plays above or greater than 20 yards passing. That's pretty crazy.
In 6 games.
I mean, let's be honest. If you're playing this Kentucky offense and you're a D coordinator, you stack the box and you play man and you say, throw it and beat us. I mean, that's what I would do. Are you going to let Rodriguez run for 300 yards? No. Stack the box. Make the quarterback, who we don't even know who it's going to be because there's a competition, make them beat you with their arm.
You know what, though? Now this is the week that's going to happen. It's going to take a little while. Chris Rodriguez, he's going to get rolling. He'll probably get about, I don't know, I'm thinking about 160, Drew, before they really start taking shots. And then I want to see this Joey Gatewood deep ball because he puts it on a line up close, but I just don't think he's really pulled the pin and just said, all right, receiver, go get it. I bet he can throw a football over a mountain. That's what it looks like to me, at least.
I don't believe anyone on this team can throw the football past 25 yards. I hate calling games like must-win games, but this is a must-show-me-you're-capable-of-doing-something-with-your-offense game. Or how do we get up for the rest of the season if they can't show progress against Vanderbilt after a bye week? If it's more of the same, I mean, this will go down as one of the all-time worst if there's no progress in this game.
Well, that brings me to my other what if, because we have to discuss it. Needs to be said. What if Kentucky doesn't win another football game this season? Like, what? Just there's a chance it might happen. I don't want to speak that into existence. I know you all have criticized me roundly and soundly, and rightfully so in some cases. But like, what if you're going up against a winless Vanderbilt team and you drop that L at home? What happens, Drew?
Well, I've thought about this, sadly, and it makes me wonder how much credit do they get for the Tennessee game? Because that was huge, but it's not enough to salvage a season where you only won a couple games, right? Or can we say just winning in Knoxville is enough for this year to be a success?
It really is like a hypothetical, Freddie, that people kick around in the radio biz. Like, I would rather beat Tennessee and not win another game than lose to those Vols again.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Here's our chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know the staff. I know they're busting their tails. They're doing everything in the world to try to scheme up something that's going to be successful offensively. And they really are. I mean, they're working hard and it's shown that it's worked in the past. So that tends to lean towards personnel. But I can't see Kentucky losing to Vanderbilt, but I will say this. I think Vanderbilt is better than the record indicates. I mean, they played Texas A&M to a 17-12 game week one. I mean, Texas A&M's in the top five now, if I'm not mistaken. And then just seeing them against Mississippi State, you know, they're a threatening pass offense. But I'm with Drew. I think for the Kentucky fans, the manner in which and the style in which Kentucky wins this game is as important as winning the game to the fans, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, style points don't matter unless it's the BCS and you're trying to get into the playoff. But they matter. They do matter on Saturday. And the thing that I worry about is the same worry that I had against Georgia with Joey Gatewood at quarterback. It's that you get a result that doesn't produce anything definitive one way or the other. And you I don't want that to happen. Hell, I'd almost rather them go out and lose and instead of just a kind of a wishy-washy, you know, 13-7 win. I mean, you can't have that happen. And here's the thing too, Freddie. To your point about knowing that these guys are working hard and stuff, I really do worry about the kind of emotional health of the football team, where I really want them to have something to feel good about because,
yeah,
you know, everybody's going through tough times right now. There's no question about it. We hit on that towards the beginning of the show. But, you know, everything that John Schlarman's been through, and then
right.
It sounds like things – just are going in the wrong direction at this point after that Missouri game. And between that and between just the fatigue that they have, where Stoops alluded to it some today when talking about the COVID protocols, like the good parts about being on a football team are busting each other's chops in the locker room, are having family day where you see everybody's kids, where things feel a little bit normal for a while.
Yeah.
And they haven't had any of those things. And that kind of, I think the inability to exhale has taken its toll on this team. And I hope that they can make some big plays. They can have some long touchdowns just to kind of have something to feel good about. Cause it's been a while since they have had that.
Yeah. And you know, you can start with Chris Oates, how that played out. And
yeah,
God bless him. You know, he came to the game. That was motivational. And he's in their thoughts and prayers. And then with John Schlarman, and then losing at Missouri, and the way things have gone, my goal, what I would like to see is smiles from that team as they walk off the field Saturday. The big win, playing better than they have, and having smiles. I mean, I know the players, and you know, I'm for them, man. I want to see them have fun again. And you know, the defense looks like they're having fun. I mean, and they should look that way. Ranked first in the SEC in scoring defense, first in the SEC in pass defense, first SEC in red zone defense. That's a lot of firsts, and they look like they're flying around having fun, where offensively, you know, with the passing game struggles, it doesn't look like there's a lot of smiles on that side of the ball. I want to see the team smiling and having fun on Saturday after a win.
So there's something I would like to see. Charles, tell me if this is possible or not. Because we kicked around this idea with Adam Luckett last week. What if – Like, could you play Boss Man Fat on offense? You're a receiver. Could you pick it up in a week or two and catch some passes?
No, I mean, unless he has I think catching the pass is the easiest part. You got to learn the plays. You have to learn pickups. What is that?
That was my daughter. That was Ellie. They say hi, y'all.
There's a smile.
I don't know. I think it's way easier said than done, switching someone and saying, yeah, put him out one-on-one. I mean, then again, he would know defense.
Damn it, Charles, don't ruin my dreams. I want to see Boss Man Fat catching some fades on some dudes, like pulling a Seth Williams on somebody else.
I mean, I think we have a 6 Keaton Upshaw we can throw fade to.
See, this is Drew. This is being a proud receiver. Yeah, he's too proud to admit that Boss Man in fact could play receiver.
I just don't think it would bode well. I do not. Well, especially it would mess up the receiver room now. All right, so you don't think any of us are good, but you're going to bring this corner over and play. And I think you can't do that. And I think it's not even worth taking the shot, the opportunity to try to do it. Because then everything – I don't know what's going on in that receiver's room, but you start bringing in new guys that don't play receiver, they're not going to be too happy.
I'd enjoy the hell out of it, though, Drew.
You know, I'm for as much Boss Man Fat playing time as we could get. If they want to put him in the Wildcat, return kicks, punt when Max Duff is awesome, you know, not saying in an emergency situation we'd put him in for Duffy, but maybe here and there. For Boss Man Fat playing every position on the field.
It's like Bugs Bunny on first. Bugs Bunny on second. Bugs Bunny on third. Yeah, you know. I kicked that question to Mark Stoops and he just ignored it.
Mark Stoops would be in a mood this morning. I thought you were very risky asking that question. I got under the table.
You know, unlike Ryan Lemon, I'm a journalist at heart. I got to ask the hard-hitting questions, like, are you going to move your defensive back to wide receiver? yeah, Mark wasn't in the best of moods today.
I like that you asked that when we already knew he wasn't in a good mood. It's not that you asked it and then we later found out he was in a bad mood. You already knew.
I just quit caring, you know.
This is a good time to bring up a new segment I made up.
Oh, Drew's got a new segment. New segment alert. Here we go.
I will just go around the room briefly, just a simple yes or no question. But since it's happened so often, will Boss Man Fat get an interception this week?
Yes.
I said a yes for Freddie.
Yes.
Charles with a yes.
Yeah. Keep it going, Boss.
Yeah,
man.
Yes is all around. He gets one every other game, and Vandy just had 5 turnovers.
Ken Seals is on 8 interceptions. Only chance that Vanderbilt's going to have is to throw the ball at least 50 times on Saturday. So I can see Boss Man getting an interception.
Well, that's a fun segment. Perfect 4-0. We'll do it again next week.
What would the Vegas line be, Drew, on Boss Man Fat? Over under interceptions, 0.5.
Well, I mean, the odds would suck because I think it's a lock that he's going to get an interception. I would even set it higher, maybe over 2.5 for this particular game.
Wow.
I mean, the man has only played half a season and already has 3. Brand new to the team. Now that he's established, got the Seth Williams out of the way, I think it's won a game from here on out, at least.
And, Drew, Vanderbilt has 2 6'4" receivers. Abdul Rahim Amir is 6'4", and Chris Pierce is 6'4". So we could see some payback on 50-50 balls from the Auburn game. So I'm 100% in with you on there. I think Boss Man gets an interception.
What also is pretty crazy about Boss Man's 3 picks, so he's leading the nation right now, and there's like 8 guys who have 3 picks. But what's crazy is that I think you have to go back to 2009 to have a UK player who's had more than 3 interceptions in a season. I think Sam Maxwell had 4 one year. But he's done that in 6 games. Those guys were playing 12. And because like he said, some pretty good defensive backs. I don't know if y'all have been paying attention. There's a lot of guys that have gone through the NFL through that defense in the last decade. And he has as many interceptions in half a season as they've had an entire year. It's ridiculous. And Freddie, that goes back to what you were saying last week about Brad White. This defense has been nuts. And I think a lot of the frustrations from fans about the offense is just like, man, you got a hell of a defense. Let's make sure that they at least get some of their due for just how well they've been playing.
Well, I know earlier I talked about their pass, number one in scoring, number one in red zone, etc. But Kentucky's only has 8 sacks on the year, which is just 12th in the SEC. Only have 27 tackles for loss, which is 11th in the ACC, and just forced one fumble, recovered one fumble, and still have those numbers. To me, that paints the picture of Brad White absolutely scheming the heck out of the defense and having his guys playing, you know, full tilt for 60 minutes. And I don't think we could express the praise that we should be on Brad White. Now, again, Vanderbilt's going to have some yards. Whatever, but I mean, if what Kentucky's done through this point, I give him all the credit in the world. And I have a new segment too, Nick.
Oh, 2 new segments. Heck yeah, Freddie, lay it on.
UK football trivia: who has the record for the most interceptions in a season at UK?
I know this answer. Do y'all know it, Drew? Charles? No,
I do not.
Drew, I'll give you a hint. He also coached at the University of Kentucky. It's Freddie's coach, Jerry Claiborne.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Damn,
he had 12.
Which, Freddie, I was going back and looking at the record book. Were just quarterbacks, could they just not throw a football? They used to pick off like 20-some-odd passes back in the 50s in a season, and they were playing fewer games.
Yeah, I guess. Quarterback play's really greatly improved here recently.
Oh, man, you would have been a Heisman Trophy winner back in the day, Freddie.
No, yeah. Yeah, I contributed to a lot of DBs having interception records. That was about it.
Man, so I've got another new segment alert, too. We got so many segments today, and it's inspired by the tree that I'm staring at in my backyard. And
I know. Squirrel. Can I guess what it is?
Yes.
Squirrel.
Guess what it is?
Wade leaves.
Is raking leaves the worst household chore you could possibly have?
Ever.
Because
ever.
Laundry's worse.
Ooh, we got
all right. That includes folding after you're done laundry.
Well, of course, that's part of laundry. So do you hate the folding part of it? Okay, you're
well
you're
the folding and putting, you know, then hanging clothes and then putting some clothes in the dresser. That's the worst. I will rake leaves over laundry any day of the week. But I agree, Nick, I have like a 150-foot river birch in my backyard, and every day I rake the leaves, and then the next day it looks like I had not raked the leaves in a month. So
And that's why I think it's up there, Drew. And I don't, you're a first time homeowner. So like you're going to, after your first year, you're just going to think of like, wow, these are all of the things that I didn't know I hated so much about a house. So I just, I wanted you to have a heads up because leaf raking is the worst, but I think I know a household chore that's even worse.
I enjoy good leaf raking. What do you say that's worse?
Putting up Christmas decorations. Because it's typically really bad. Like it's typically nasty January weather. And like if you're as Clark Griswold as I, you're getting up on the roof, ready, and you know, you're on the ladder, you're taking stuff down. And then once you get them all down, you're like, oh, we just have a cold, miserable winter, like without even anything to look forward to anymore.
Okay, I get you now. You're talking about putting them up after you've come out. Yeah, that does stink.
Yeah. Putting them out's kind of fun because you're like, oh, it's Christmas season, you know?
Yeah, my perfect retirement home would be surrounded by 200 acres of treeless property. Because I hate raking leaves, and no banned Christmas decorations because I hate doing it too.
Oh, wow. Are you a Scrooge, Freddie?
But yes. Yeah. But Charles, talking about laundry, try being colorblind doing laundry. That's a challenge, man.
I bet that makes for interesting.
Yeah. When I was at UK, we had to, you know, wear a suit when we traveled. So my mom would, safety pin socks to the pants that I wore so I'd match. And my roommate, the late, great Joey Couch, would switch them up. So I'd look, I mean, I would have a green sock and a blue sock or whatever. So, yeah, there's been a lot of tricks played on me throughout the years.
Drew, I know my friends, they like to use the phrase choring. You've probably got a lot of choring to do with a new house.
I stay pretty busy around here. I didn't know it took much to just live. I can't say I'm a fan. I want to go back to my little apartment.
And it's not even like the fun chores too, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to go out and cut grass and just like be away for like an hour or something. No, it's like you need to get the level out and help hang up this picture. But, oh, you've got to find a stud first and then make sure that the little wire hangers, I mean, there's just so much annoying little stuff that adds up. And right now, the damn leaves in my backyard, they're going to drive me nuts because this was a great, perfect weather weekend. You can just, I was ready to wash my hands of it. I was going to be done with outside chores till, you know, at least two or three more weeks before I get all the Christmas, pull all the Christmas junk out. Nope, not happening. Leaves back just like that. And the cycle continues.
Yes, no question. Do you make your bed in the morning?
No, of course
I do.
I do.
Nick, you're the only slob?
Well, I'm a slob in that I wake up before my wife, so she's still in bed. So, like, if the bed gets made, it's just like you just pull the covers over a little bit and, you know.
Yeah.
But where are we? We were talking about Christmas decorations. Where are we with putting up this year? I'm kind of taking a poll because I'm ready. I would have done it a week ago if I didn't think I'd get thrown out of my neighborhood.
I would go ahead, if you're ready to do it now while it's still warm out. Like getting them going while the weather's still nice is very crucial. The only reason why I haven't is I was like, the bye week was used exclusively for just relaxing. So I'll probably be up by the end of the week. The key is you have to, like, if I'm going to take the Christmas stuff out, I'm putting all the fall stuff out at once. Like, it's not, we're not making multiple trips into the attic. Like, this is a one-day thing, and I'm getting it over with. Like, I don't want this dilly-dallying and junking up my house for a week or two. So, I think you're in the clear, Drew. It's just a matter of doing it before it becomes absolutely awful. And now you get to do it for the first time, so you can, I mean, have you gone to the store yet to check out any of like the lighting fixtures or anything?
No, I have a lot of stuff. I would decorate my old place quite a bit, so I have some stuff left over. But there is a guy in my neighborhood. that has had his tree up since early October. I mean, it's been up probably a month now. I thought that was pretty aggressive. So I feel like he set the tone for everyone else. I think I'll probably be doing it here pretty soon.
I thought the day after Thanksgiving was the go time for decorations.
Well, normally it is. Any other year, I would wait. But, you know, this year we need all the happiness we can get.
There you go.
You want to put your holiday cheer up, you go ahead and you do what you want to do is what I'm saying.
The day after Thanksgiving for me, Freddie, is for watching more football and basketball. I don't want to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off at Kohl's to get deals or doing all sorts of work. Like I'm one of those where just bring home the Christmas early. Who cares?
Well, for me, it gets serious when the Hallmark Christmas movies start up, and that's when I get fired up about it because Drew and I are humongous Hallmark Christmas movie fans.
Have they started up yet? It's got to be here by now.
They're getting close.
Netflix has its own version. Obviously not a traditional Hallmark classic, but it's up. I haven't watched it yet.
I was going to ask, have you watched The Holiday yet, Drew? Or the
No, not yet.
I think it's like the Christmas Princess or something is one. There's like three or four of those already. They got a sequel for each year. You know, you gotta keep pumping them out for Netflix.
Here's to watching Hubie Halloween. He loves it.
I enjoyed Hubie Halloween. They got me in the Halloween spirit. It wasn't great, but it wasn't the worst thing ever.
I beg to differ.
Chuck, you're just not old enough to be a cornball yet. You're gonna start appreciating dad jokes before you know it. You've already got the sweaters. You know, you're getting real close.
I don't have a tie on today. Do you like that?
It might be the first time I've seen you without a tie on in months. It really has.
I'm a tie wearer instead. I love the tie.
It's a big week for polos though, Charles, because the one thing that is going to be cool to see is fall foliage at Augusta National. We're going to have some red falling leaves. The cones are going to be looking good. And I'm just like, Drew, they're college game day at the Masters. That's going to be, I just, my brain doesn't know how to handle that mashup.
Yeah, that's going to be wild. Did they say who's the celebrity picker? We can pull Tiger over.
It would be pretty great if they like had two holes and they had to putt at like which game, like on like a practice green, and they had to putt to whichever cup that they were picking the game. That would be fun.
I bet it's Jack Nicklaus because of Ohio State.
Yeah. Good call.
Good call, Freddie. I'm pumped. Go on, Freddie.
Fall foliage. How you say that? Foliage. That word's not my wheelhouse, but if you know, on a bucket list for you guys, in all seriousness, you need to go down to Kingdom Come State Park in Cumberland one fall when the leaves are changing, see some bears. It's beautiful up there. It's the most beautiful place in the world.
Do I need to see the bears?
You'll see them if you're there early in the morning or right before dark. They'll be out.
Have you ever fought a bear?
They're everywhere. I have not. I would have back in the day, but not now. I'm too old. I get wore out.
Oh man! Well, I'm excited for the Masters this weekend.
Like we'll challenge.
Drew, will this be a two television kind of weekend? Get Vandy on one and Kentucky Vandy on one, and then get a little Masters on the other screen. I feel like that's a good time to have the multiple TV set up.
Oh, definitely. For me, the two TVs will start probably on Thursday. I'll try to watch as many swings as possible from the Masters while keeping up with everything else going on in the world. But come Saturday, absolutely.
Have they started yet, Drew?
The Masters?
Yeah.
The practice rounds are day through Wednesday.
Okay.
And then Thursday is when it gets going.
It'd be really cool to, like, I know the dream is playing at courses like that, I would just be happy to go on the par three course, you know?
I had tickets 1 year and didn't go.
What?
Man, there's no way I could be quiet for 8 hours. No, I couldn't be still or be quiet for 8 hours. There's no way I could do that.
If you catch those again this year, you can just throw my way and I'll go for you.
I haven't ruled out sneaking down there this weekend.
Hmm.
Again, the offer still stands, Drew. If you need someone to go, I can be there.
Sneaking.
Is John Daly still going to be at Hooters?
I don't know what they'll do. I guess. I mean, that's his house for the week, so man's got to live.
Who's more famous at the Hooters, John Daly or Andy Kennedy?
Well, I've been around both. I've been fortunate enough to see both there in their element. It's tough call. They both live their best lives.
Oh, man. Well, I hope
everybody living their best lives, don't forget this guy.
Oh, man, that's pretty awesome.
JT Poston debut. Everyone betting. They're 300-1. It's the easiest money you'll ever make.
Man, how awesome that'd be. Fleener, I've heard him karaoke before, but I've never heard him, like, try to sing. He's really good at singing.
Yeah, I didn't even – I mean, I've heard him sing plenty of times. I didn't know he had that in him. That was a professional recording. That might pop up on the charts here before the week's over. You never know.
Especially when they end up winning the Masters too. I mean, that's going to be – you want to talk about shooting your shot.
He did kind of sound like Luke Combs. Pretty good.
How crazy would it be if – well, how'd you get your start in country music? Well, I was a caddy first going to the Masters, and I sung a song, and then it blew up on the charts, and I said, you know what? Let's give this country music thing a try. I wouldn't put it past Flainer.
I haven't looked it up, but I think he's the first Masters rookie to drop their debut single while at the Masters. I think Tiger Woods, when he was at the Masters in 95, he didn't drop a single.
Nope.
I don't think Sam Snead, any of them really.
No, wow, yeah.
So made his
one of today. One. One of one, unlike anybody else out there.
We got that in the Cats this weekend.
Well, it should be an exciting weekend. I hope y'all had a fun time listening to us talk a little football today. It's a little bit different show, but hopefully entertaining at that. Kentucky has Vandy on the SEC Network at noon this Saturday. Fingers crossed that all of the COVID stuff. I know it was scary, some news earlier today, but hopefully we've seen the worst of it, at least for this week, and the Cats will still be able to play the Commodores on Saturday. We're glad that you joined us for the KSR Football Podcast. And if you will, check out our friends at UK Federal Credit Union and our buddies over at Midnight Rooster. Anytime you're working, helping them, you're helping us as well. So, hey guys, you know what? For having a bye week, I thought this was a pretty, pretty good football podcast, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it was fun.
You're working on your safe golf out there. Already, Drew. Well done.
Yeah, wrong sport.
For Drew Franklin, Charles Walker, Freddie Maggard, I'm Nick Roush. We'll see y'all next week. Until then, go Cats and go Crow.
And peep the technique. Sweat the technique.